I want you to make welcome Brother Tom as he comes this morning. And we'll close, we'll make some pictures of everybody. God bless you, Brother Tom. Tom Robertson from Jeremiah Run Baptist Church in Raleighville, Virginia. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to sit this.
Well, tell them about it.
All right, let me do that just real briefly as a way of introduction. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know we're having a little fun here today, and old-fashioned, boy, I wish we were back to some old ways, Brother Billy. Amen. We need to get back to some old ways as far as preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's for sure. Amen. But anyway, I share a little bit. I guess the highlight of my garb is my old top hat. This old top hat is a Henry Knox top hat. Now, Henry Knox made top hats from about 1870 till he passed in 1908. This is an old original beaver hat. Henry Knox was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner in the Civil War, and he went to making top hats. And Brother Billy preaches a message on the Titanic. Well, Brother Billy, this is about what they would have had when they were really fancy back the turn of the century or a little before. But this is my top hat.
Brother Tom, I apologize. I was keeping this.
Oh, it's okay. I don't wander too far.
All right.
And the real highlight to me is the Word of God.
Amen.
I've got an original. This is a John Brown commentary. Have any of y'all ever heard of the original John Brown? I'm not talking about the John Brown who was hung for insurrection in 1859 in Harper's Ferry. I'm talking about, he was probably named for this John Brown. This is a John Brown commentary from, this John Brown passed away in 1787. This is one of the last printings. This actual Bible was actually printed about 1844. One of the last ones that they printed. But what I liked about this Bible so much is this is the commentary. You know, you have King James commentary. Say you have a King James commentary. You have the Scofield. You have the Thompson Chain. You have all kinds of commentary Bibles. This is the commentary that was widespread during the American Revolution. A lot of our forefathers subscribed to the John Brown commentary. George Washington, I know, had one. Benjamin Franklin, some of our great American forefathers. This is the commentary that they used. And some amazing study. I haven't read all of it. I haven't read through this whole Bible, through the whole commentary. I've read some good choice sections. One of them I'd like to share with you here this morning out of the book of Romans in chapters 3 concerning the righteousness of God, the justification of the Lord, being forgiven for our sins, the whole world guilty before God and needing a Savior. There's some wonderful things, you know, and plus, this is just a good old King James, amen? I'm a King James person all the way. I got to share this one story. You know, we had my grandmother Hale with us. She passed last year, last November. And, of course, we had our camp meeting last month up at our little church. And last year was actually the last services at our camp meeting that my grandmother lived. She got sick right after that, and we ended up in the hospital before she passed. And but in one of our meetings last year, had Brother Sam and Brother Dale Vance. I don't know if y'all knew Brother Sam, Brother Dale. I knew Brother Billy does. And Brother Dale got to preaching on a Thursday night. And boy, he really got into the King James as far as the authoritative Word of God, isn't it? And on its use, and of course, now he compared a couple of other, you know, your NIV and different other translations, but why he was a firm conviction of the King James. And I never will forget it. He made the comment, if you don't have a King James, you need to get you a good one. Get you a good sharp sword, you know, get you a good one. And after the service was over, my grandmother, she was 97 years old now. She called to me. She says, Tommy, come here. And so I went over to her room. We had her staying in our living room. And she said, he was preaching on the Bible about a good one and a bad one. She says, which one have I got? She was so innocent. She didn't know there was any other kind. All she'd ever had was a good old King James Bible. You know, but she got to worried after he got to preaching on it. She thought, well, maybe somebody done slipped something in on her, you know. But anyway, I thought that was a blessing anyway. I like that. But anyway, this text in the Word of God, in the book of Romans, is a wonderful text, and I pray I can do it justice to you here this morning. Y'all help me to pray. Father, again, as we come before you, Lord, we have a good time of fellowship, a time to gather together here now, Lord. But Father, we want to meet with you. Lord, we've come to worship, and Lord, I just want to praise you. I want to thank you for our Savior, for Calvary. I just want to thank you for loving us so, and Lord, in spite of us, and Lord, so unworthy of the least of your mercies. But God, I just pray that now, Lord, you'll help me. Lord, you've given me some truths here that I'd love to be able to just share with these dear folks. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know for sure that they have trusted you as Savior, I pray that you'll help these pages come alive to them, Lord. Help them here today. I pray, Father, for Christians to be strengthened in their faith. Your word tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by your word. And Lord, these are some really wonderful verses here, Father, to be established, to be rooted and grounded in the love of a Savior. Help me here now, Lord. I know it's nothing I can do of myself, but Father, it's your spirit and it's your word here today. Do a work that, Father, only you can do. And God, I'll praise you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One other thing I want to mention, you know, Brother Bill, I wrestled with two or three passages. In fact, I had this message pretty much together about when you first invited me. I guess when, that was last month when we were looking at it. And then I got to wrestling. I worked up another whole message, and I got to preaching that. And then I got into another direction. I said, well, I really was. You know, when I first started preaching, Brother Bill, I had trouble. Lord, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? You know. But now it's got to the point where I've got so much I want to say, I just don't know if I can just trim it down enough, you know. But I love this text here, and I want you to share with me. Look in Romans chapter 3, look in verses 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. I love the King James Version. You know, one of the things I love about this text right here, if you've ever read it in any other text, why are you a King James man, Brother Tom? Well, let me just share just real briefly, and I'll move off of the subject. You know, I've heard eloquent preachers, I've heard men give testimonies, I've heard men even read out of other versions of the Bible. But when you hear a man of God, when you hear a pastor, as Brother Billy and some of the men of God we've had in these camp meetings, I've been in some good preachers with the fire and the touch of the Lord on them, and as they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, when they start quoting Scripture, I mean, they may say some eloquent words, but when you hear that King James quoted, brother, you know he just quoted you God's word.
Yes, sir.
There's something about, there's power in the King James. You know what I'm saying? The power isn't there under some, you know, a paraphrase or altered. What I'm saying is you recognize the King James as the Word of God. There's power there. You know he quoted you the Word of God. That's, and I'll just move on from that. That's one of the reasons I love the King James. Now, the Bible tells us that all have sinned. The Bible says here in verses 10 that there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. We're all unprofitable in God's sight. With this guilt brings condemnation. With this guilt brings the judgment of Almighty God. Do you realize we're all, every person born in this world, we're going to stand before Almighty God one day. We're going to stand before a holy God one day. And it's whether you've been forgiven of your sin, acknowledged your sin, whether you've put your faith in Christ, and that's what I want to outline here this morning. You're guilty before God, you're condemned until that condemnation is lifted.
Right.
You know, in this world today, I don't know if y'all are fed up with what's going on in our political world here today as much as I am. Judy will tell you, I got to quit watching some of these news things, Brother Billy. It's me. I want things right. I want things true. You understand? I want things to be just. And when we see things going on in our country, it is unnerving to us. It is unsettling to us when we see things that you know are wrong, that you know are unjust, that you know are not justice being carried out. You understand what I'm getting at here today? And I long for things to be. You may escape. What I'm saying is I don't care what sin. Let's put it in your court here this morning. I don't care where you're at in your life here today, what sin you've committed before a holy God. You may escape judgment. You may have committed sin against your fellow man. And you may have escaped condemnation. You may have escaped judgment right now in this world. But in the world to come, you'll stand before God.
Amen.
And he is just.
Yes.
And there is nothing that will escape his righteousness and his judgment. You understand? We're all going to stand. We're all going to stand before. And the thing about it is, without Jesus Christ, apart from him, we're guilty. Okay? The Bible says there's none righteous. There's none that understands, none. That's where I was, lost and undone. I used to think I was all right. I used to think before, if I'd stand before the Lord, I figured, God, if you're there, if one day I do stand before you, like that's, you know, possibly it could be or not be. That's before I was saved, I didn't understand. I used to think, well, I'd be all right. Maybe if he's a loving God, that's what I hear, and he'll give me another chance. I'd be able to plead my cause, and I believe my good would outweigh my bad. Y'all ever think like that? Think that maybe you're all right? I mean, I'm not so bad. I ain't never killed no one. So I drink a little bit, and I smoke a little bit, but I've never hurt anybody or not never meant to hurt nobody. Like somehow my good will outweigh my bad. Well, the Bible says there's none good. There's none righteous before the Lord. Now, I want you to look here. The Bible says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, verse 19, it saith to them and under law that all the world may, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. We're guilty, condemned. There's no deeds that we could do that could be justified in his sight. Now, here's where I want to get to in verse 20. Now, this paints a picture of mankind, fallen mankind, the sin of Adam that just... The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for what? All have sinned, right? Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, even though while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's the remedy. See, because of all the guilt and all the weight of sin. But verse 21 says, but now. I'm glad of that, but now, amen. What I'm saying is, even though I don't care where you're at in your life, I don't care how deep, how dark, how black the sin is, there is a remedy. Amen. There is forgiveness in God's judgment. And it's only through Jesus Christ. That's the only atonement that God accepts. We're going to see that here in just a few minutes here. There is a remedy, and it's called the righteousness of God, by the way, too, that's imputed unto us. We look in verses 22. The Bible says, verses 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? By faith. By faith of what? Jesus Christ. Amen? And to all and upon all that what? Believe. It's faith. It's believing. It's believing in the promise and the covenant that God has made through the blood of his Son. It's faith in the finished work of Calvary. The righteousness of God. I got to thinking about the righteousness of God, Brother Billy. When you think about the righteousness, you know, when you think about the power of God, we know God's omniscient. He's all-knowing, isn't he?
Yes.
He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. When I think about the omniscience of the Lord, I think about the knowledge of the Lord. The Bible talks about man and all of his wisdom. The wisest of men is foolishness with God, isn't it, according to 1 Corinthians chapters 2? And even the foolishness of God, it turns that thing around, is wiser than the wisdom of men. You know, I got to thinking about this book here, Brother Billy, this James Brown commentary, John Brown commentary. He wrote this commentary in the 1700s. This is way before Charles Darwin ever come along. He's got some wonderful notes in here on the creation. We talk about biblical notes. We look at the wisdom of men and how men have studied. And you know, you and I have this access to all this knowledge today. We have commentaries we can choose and pick and choose. And like Brother Don says, you eat the fish and leave the bones. Amen. There's things that we can glean from other men's life studies. There's good commentaries. I like a lot of them. I like to look at a lot of people's thoughts. And I just pray and trust the Lord to lead me and guide me into truth, okay? But John Brown here, when he wrote this commentary, this was way before Darwin ever introduced his theory of evolution in the 1830s, 1840s, 50s, in that era before the Civil War. In fact, if you'll study Schofield's commentary, Schofield, one of the things that I really fault, I don't want to fault anybody, because Schofield's got some wonderful notes on the righteousness of God, on the forgiveness of sin. He's got some excellent notes on eternal security of the believer. But one of the things he introduced was the gap theory, because he assumed that Charles Darwin and his science had been proven true. And he neatly tucked away millions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 20. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into the final, but what I'm getting at is here, this Bible was written and this commentary was written before Darwin, and he has some wonderful notes on the creation. The Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.
Amen.
And the things which are were not made by things which do appear. I understand that I believe in the 7 literal days of creation. God says it in his word, and God said, and what? It was so. And the beginning and the morning and the evening were the first day. Well, it sounds awful lot to believe, but yeah, it just takes simple faith to believe God can. Ain't nothing hard with the Lord, is it?
Right.
Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Amen. So we see the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge of the Lord is vast superior than even the wisest of men. We see the omnipotence of the Lord. We talked about a little bit there about that time. You know, one of the things we look at history. You remember when that Titanic sailed? What did they say about that? Said God himself couldn't sink it. Isn't that right? Like man had built something that was so powerful and so complete that God himself couldn't. God didn't even have to touch it. He sent just a little chunk of ice. Amen. Let me share a little story. You know, back in the Civil War, many of y'all know me, you know I love antiques and Americana. I love American history. Back in the Civil War, the same thing, I don't know if y'all are aware about it, at the Battle of Chancellorsville, where Stonewall Jackson routed Hooker. Hooker and his army. Hooker was leader of the Union Army there at Chancellorsville in 1863, in May of 63. I read a little excerpt similar to that, where the night before the big battle, Hooker had outnumbered Lee over 2-1. I mean, he had a vastly superior army, over 100,000 Yankee Devils, I call them anyway. they was invaded in Virginia. Amen. And anyway, he had Robert E. Lee in a pretty tight spot there. He had him hemmed up, and he knew it. He knew that he had. In fact, he thought, tomorrow he's mine. In fact, that night I read in one of the journals where Hooker and some of his chief of staff got a little on the tight side, and they were boasting that night. And old Hooker made the comment that night that I've got Lee right where I want him, and even Almighty God himself can't take him out of my hand. And the next day, Stonewall made a little flank movement with about 15,000 rebels and got on the left flank on the west side and routed the whole army. They was in their camp. The deer were running through the camp. They were in the camp and on them. Their arms were still stacked. They didn't, and routed the whole army that day. God used a little old short, stumpy general. What I'm saying is we think that we have power. My son is on that B-2 stealth bomber base out in Missouri. And we've gone on that base several times. And on that base, that base is pretty amazing, Brother Billy. They have a lot of, they've got so much armament, they could literally wipe most of the earth off. That's where all the nukes are for loading on these stealth bombers. They can fly. They leave off that base. They don't land anywhere else. They refuel in midair. They fly to Iran, Iraq, wherever, Korea, and back. Them guys that fly them planes are like astronauts. They're in their suits, and they're in there for 40 hours sometimes or more, just flying round trip and to drop their load and come back. And as you go on that base, I mean, there's Apache. They got the U.S. Army guarding it. There's Apache helicopters. You can't even get on the base. They'll shoot you on sight if you don't have the right escort. You just can't wander on that base. I mean, when you look at that, you look at the power of America's might. What I'm saying, you're looking at all the power that man can produce. And yet, I don't care what we can do. God, with one breath of his nostril.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And we think that we're something, right? I look at that as the righteousness of God. What are you saying, Brother Tom? You and I think that sometimes we have something to offer, like our works, or something that we can do that can take the place of what Christ has done. You follow what I'm saying? We think that somehow that my good works is going to outweigh, and that will be appeasing in God's sight. That somehow something that I could say or do, or something that I could give up, would somehow justify me in God's sight instead of God's justification. Man in his wisdom cannot hold a candle. Man in his power. Man in his righteousness. Brother Billy gives a wonderful illustration there in Isaiah 64 where the righteousness of even our filthy rags. And it speaks, I understood, he had a wonderful illustration in our church. I'm sure y'all maybe have heard it about the leprosy. Sin is a leprosy. You understand? And those bandages, they get caked with the sin and the flesh and the putrefying sores. And they discard those old bandages. The Bible says all of our righteousness, that's how God looks. Even the best that we can be, that's all we are in God's sight. We're unclean. All the world's guilty. We've all sinned. We all have filth. We all have blackness and darkness of sin. But God.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
Oh, I thank you, Lord, for my Savior here today. I'm so thankful here today. The Bible says the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. What do you mean? How do you get that righteousness? How do you get clean before God? How do you take the blackness and the deepest darkness of your sin and be counted clean? By faith of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Brother Tom? That word faith, I like that word faith. It's translated. There's several different Greek words used along this line. The word used here is the Greek word pistis. There's another word, pithio, and then there's another word, it slipped to mind here now, where he that believeth. Pithio is one, and pistis. I'll have to look it up again, Brother Bill. I forgot. It's the same root word, P-I-S-T. I don't speak Greek very well. I just barely speak Appalachian American. Amen. But I never learned Greek, never learned Hebrew real good either, Brother Bill. But that word, pistis, it literally means, if you'll look where it's translated throughout the New Testament, it literally means persuaded. It means to trust. It means to believe. It's translated believe or believeth. Being persuaded to entrust, to have faith in, to believe. What word is my faith in? What do I trust? Whom do I trust? What am I persuaded of here this day? Jesus Christ. You see? By faith of Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary, his death and his atonement, his blood that was shed at Calvary. I'm a believer here today. I put my faith and my trust. The day I trusted Christ as my Savior, I saw myself as guilty undone. I saw myself as condemned before God, just as the Word of God condemns us. I saw myself black and deep, and it was. And I also saw that it was nothing I could do. At best I knew how, I cried out unto Almighty God for forgiveness. I knew that Jesus loved me. I knew that he died for me. I knew that. I'd been taught all these things. I just never accepted it. And that day, with the best of my ability, the best I knew how, I can't explain it to you other than the fact that I know that day, no matter what, I put my trust in the Lord. I called upon Christ to forgive me of my sin, and I asked him to save me. I believed that his death would atone for my sin. I believed it. I couldn't explain it to you. I can barely explain it to you here today, 30-some years later, but I know, Bible, like Paul says, I know whom I've believed.
Amen.
And am persuaded.
Yes,
that he is able. You see,
Amen.
I put my trust in it. I let go of my works. I let go of my righteousness. I had nothing to offer him. I just found mercy. I just found his love. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
He turned my rags and he made them clean.
Yes, sir.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow.
Amen.
Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God took an old sinner, and unworthy as I am, and he forgave me. And he cleansed me. Oh, I never felt so good in all my life to be forgiven, to feel the joy of the Holy Spirit, to know, you understand, to know that he had took it away.
Yeah.
To know I found favor with the Lord. To know he was there.
Amen.
Amen. That it's real. Amen.
Yeah.
My faith. You see, I believe. I trust him here today. I don't trust me. I don't trust too many preachers sometimes, you know. We don't trust. But, brother, you can put your trust in the finished work of Calvary. You can put your faith in the finished work of where Christ died at the cross for your sins. I'm persuaded of Calvary here today. And he goes on to say the righteousness of God. And the moment that I had my faith, the moment that faith became real and genuine, the moment that I didn't just pray a little prayer, you see. I trusted him. You understand? I found faith in his work. And the moment that I did, the Bible teaches the righteousness of God. See, the Bible says he hath made him who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus died at the cross, when he died for the sin of the world, when he cried out, Father, it is finished. When his blood was shed as an atonement for the sin. He took my sin. You know, the Bible teaches that man's, when Adam sinned, death passed upon all men for all have sinned, right? Sin was imputed to the whole human race. There's not a thing you can do about it. You're a born sinner. But when Christ died at the cross of Calvary, he took the sin of the world.
Amen.
All of it. Amen. I don't believe it was a limited atonement either, brother. But I believe he died for the sin of the world.
Amen.
For whosoever will, let him come.
Yes,
he died for the sin of the world. The sin of the world was imputed unto Christ who knew no sin. And the day I became a believer, the day I found faith in his work, his righteousness was imputed back. I can stand here before you clean here. I'm a sinner, yes. Lord, forgive me. Unworthy, righteous.
Amen.
In his sight.
Yes, sir.
Because he looks on his son who offered
Amen.
His blood for me. And the Bible says the righteousness of God, it's his righteousness that we now are made clean by, which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. It doesn't matter Jew, Gentile, whosoever will. Doesn't matter, black. We talk about this Black Lives Matter. We talk about Blue Lives Matter, White Lives Matter. Jesus died for the sin of the world.
Amen.
He died for whosoever will.
Amen.
All lives matter. Amen.
Amen.
He died for sinners, like Paul said, of whom I'm chief. The righteousness of God is now imputed upon this old sinner.
Amen.
Amen. And you as well, if you've trusted him. The Bible says there is no difference in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look in verse 24. In verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Means I didn't earn it. I didn't justify myself. I'm not righteous. My works were not in the picture in any way, what shape, form whatsoever. We were justified freely by his grace, finding grace in his sight, finding unmerited favor. Justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Amen. It's all about Christ. It's all about his atonement, his work. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And by the way, have you been to Jesus for that cleansing power? Amen. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's exactly where we're at here today. Being justified freely by his grace. Bible says, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Justified freely by his grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord knows we have nothing. I have nothing to offer, nothing to boast, simply by the best I knew how, I just received his mercy.
Amen.
And if it isn't about the mercy of the Lord, amen, he's everything, isn't he, Brother Billy?
Yes.
I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad he loves us here today, amen. And then look on in verses 24. He says here, by the redemption of Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God has set forth. God, see, this is God's plan. This ain't Tom's plan or Brother Billy. This isn't my plan, your plan. This is what God, his covenant, his plan with man. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. You see that? For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now look in verse 25. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, one of the things I want to share with you is about this little word propitiation a little bit. Y'all know, I've been studying a lot. By the way, y'all know that today is sundown is Rosh Hashanah. Are y'all familiar with the Feast of Israel? Okay. Rosh Hashanah, 10 days from now, will be Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. All those Old Testament feasts were shadows and pictures and types that I believe Jesus Christ fulfilled in the death, burial, and resurrection and will fulfill again at his coming. Rosh Hashanah, myself, I know we don't know the day or the hour, but by the way, Rosh Hashanah starts at sundown tonight in Israel, which is probably about 12:30 here, right after we're done here today. Will be sundown in Israel. And it goes for 2 days. It's a day they knew not to. Day or the hour, the feast day. Well, they would look for the first glimmer of the shadow of the moon, starting the new moon, okay? And they'll get on the mountaintops and they'll watch for as the sun sets and the moon is waning behind it, they'll see the first shadow of the moon and they'll blow the shofar. And it was the gathering and the calling of the assembly. I've always believed, brother. Do you realize this might be my last message here today? This might be my last opportunity to tell you about my Savior. One day the trump of God's going to sound.
Amen.
And the dead in Christ shall rise. And this is Rosh Hashanah. This is the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, the gathering. Okay? What a symbol, isn't it, Brother Billy? There's some smoke here, I think, don't you? I mean, I know we don't know the day or hour, and I'm not trying to set a time. It could be this year or next year, and it might be tomorrow. Or when, I don't know, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, and in the fullness of time, God's going to send him again. Amen?
Amen?
He's coming on that great white horse. That trump of God's going to sound, and we'll forever be with the Lord.
Amen.
This mortal will put on immortality. What if this was our last day? Boy, y'all have the righteousness of the Lord? Are you clean here before? Are you ready to stand before a holy God? If that trump was to sound, amen. What am I getting at, Brother Tom? Well, he says right here, propitiation. Following that Rosh Hashanah was Yom Kippur. That's when the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. Once a year, he would offer the blood, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle it upon the altar and all the things. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Why? The wages of sin is death and the gift of God. Right? But the gift of God is Jesus, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the high priest would enter into Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle that blood on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And it became a covering in the Old Testament. It was a type. It was a shadow, a type. It was a covering. They had to go in year after year. Read it in the book of Hebrews in chapters 9, and going in chapters 9 and then in chapters 10. It talks about the atonement where the high priest every year, once every year, he would go in to make an atonement for his own sins and for the sins of the people. Read it in Leviticus chapter 16. Wonderful chapter on what they did there going into Yom Kippur. But that was a shadow and a type, according to the book of Hebrews, of a better covenant that was coming. Amen. In the Old Testament, it was a covering. It was a Kippur, like a lid, like the lid on the mercy seat on the ark, okay, that was in the Holy Holy. In the New Testament, Christ has become a propitiation. Not just a covering anymore. But once for all, in the end of the world, has he appeared to take away the sins.
Amen.
You understand? There is no offering, no other atonement. There's no other offering for sin.
Amen.
There's no other way. There's no other righteousness. There's no other blood. There's no other way. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've done. I don't care. God will forgive you through the blood of his Son.
Amen.
He has promised it in his word.
Yes, sir.
He has made a covenant with man, and he sealed it and sanctified it with his own blood. Here, I like it. God has set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. In other words, just simply believe it. I trust him here today. I'm persuaded here today.
Amen.
Of Calvary. I believe here today that Jesus loved me and died for me and shed his blood to atone for my sin. And he rose from the grave. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me share one other thing. Look in Romans chapters 1. Look in verses 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from what? Faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith, amen, and the promise in the work of the Lord. The righteousness of God is revealed through what? Calvary, in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to share one other verse. We look at Isaiah 53. I often wondered about, oh, Isaiah, boy, he really saw some wonderful things. Y'all are all familiar where he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Verses 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? Healed. All we like sheep, we've all sinned, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, who? Christ, the iniquity of us all. I want you to look in verses 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Speaking of Christ. Isaiah sees this 7 centuries now before. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Look in verses 11. It's hopefully bless your heart here. He shall see, who God the Father, shall see the travail of his Son, and shall be satisfied. It's not just a Kippur anymore. It's not just a covering. It ain't just a lid. When Christ came in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ came and he died that we might be born again.
Amen.
That's another good King James verse, brother. You hath he quickened. That's a good King James word, amen. It ain't just being alive, amen. It's eternal life.
Amen.
Being born again. Amen.
Yes,
he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The day that Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood, when he was lifted up, and he says, yet if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He was lifted up. He died. He yielded his life in atonement for sin. And the day that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, God's demand for sin to be punished, God's demand for the judgment and the condemnation of sin was forever satisfied through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that you and I, when we by faith believe and put our trust in Christ at Calvary, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Amen. God redeems us. He forgives us. He cleanses us. Do you want to be clean here today? Is there anybody here today? Do you not realize you're going to stand before God? And it just may be this week that you're going to stand before Almighty God. Is there something in your heart or in your life that you need forgiveness for? Are you a sinner undone? Come to Christ at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
There is no other offering. Acts chapters 4, verses 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You must be born again. It's that simple, amen? And it's only through his Son who is the propitiation for our sins. That's the only thing that satisfied God's judgment, was the blood of his own Son. You see, here today.
Amen.
Guilty? Yes. Are you a sinner before God? Yes. Is Christ your atonement? Do you have faith in his work? Do you have faith in what he did at Calvary? I hope so here today. Amen. If not, you can. You could have it here, right here today. All you got to do is call upon him. Call upon him with your heart here today. Put your trust in what he did in loving you and dying for you here today. Amen. Brother Billy, if you'll come and as the Lord sees.
The eternal word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us, the Lamb of God slain even before the foundation of the world. What a wonderful just opening of the scriptures to our hearts this morning. That's simple. Everybody in this building, in the internet audience, radio audience, it's very simple. We're all guilty before God. Jesus bore all our sins, every one of them, on the cross. He died for us. And that death has satisfied. He saw the travail of his Son and was satisfied. Wow. No way you can go to heaven. It's an insult to a holy God to say, I'm going to do good enough to go to heaven. Thank you, Brother Tom. Tremendous, tremendous. I want you to just let the Holy Ghost of God deal with you. Let's stand together. Brother Brad, I don't know if you're going to sing or whatever God lays on your heart to do. I want to invite you this morning, first of all, if you have never been saved, that's an old-time gospel message. It's simple truth, and it needs to be preached across America once again. It's salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore all our sin. I'm going to tell you, it'll change, it'll make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus if you accept the truth of the gospel that was preached here this morning. He's the only hope of heaven. He's the only one that can satisfy the righteousness of a holy God. And he did it for you. But by faith now you must receive him. Must believe on him, accept him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to invite you to come, invite God's people, come pray. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be, as Brother Tom said, would you like to be washed, be clean? I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious eternal word. And Father, I want to thank you for Brother Tom, Miss Judy being here today. Thank you for the word, our Father, for the Bible that he read out of, printed in the 1700s. But God, we know the truth goes even further back than that. Yonder on Calvary, where our Savior bore our sin and died on that cross. And God, I want to thank you for it. Thank you, our Father, we know and are persuaded. We know that you loved us and you died for us, and by faith we believed. Grace of God. God, I pray, help some boy, girl, man, or woman this morning accept that truth this morning.